Uncle Joe Knows Best is filmed before a live studio audience.
We must make the streets safer. I don't care why someone is antisocial. I don't care why they become a sociopath. We have an obligation to cordon them off from the rest of society. Away from my mother. You're looking at the fellow who was one of the primary architects of the Sentencing Commission. The Biden crime bill is before us. Calls for the death penalty for 51 offenses. A wag in the newspaper recently wrote that Biden has made it a death penalty offense for everything but jaywalking.
Tune in next week when Uncle Joe teaches us how to unhook a bra with one hand.
This is going to be one take.
One take?
Just one take.
Just one.
No, we're not stopping the music. We're not starting over. I don't care.
We're not pulling our pants up.
Why, do we have to?
No way, buddy. Not on this podcast.
On this podcast?
No, I mean that's the best part about having a podcast, is just hanging out with your friends without any pants on. Always been my position. So,
for anybody listening right now, I just want to make it clear that I have my pants on. I never at any point have taken my pants off in this apartment. Studio, whatever.
Very convincing.
Well, it is 3:10 in the morning, so
we did that again.
Yeah, well, we did do that again. Yes, we did do that again. This is the nighttime. This is the nighttime magic.
Uncle Joe just kept showing us that bra trick, and we could not stop. It was just like
it's very useful life experience from Uncle Joe.
And the one thing I really liked that I took away from it was he was like, you know, as a little last pizzazz move, you go boing when you do it, and I was like, that is so cool, Uncle Joe. Like, we
that
can
is,
hang out
that
anytime.
Is, that is so Joe.
Yeah, it really is. He's a sweetheart.
Just the noise is just gratuitous. Can you just imagine him just making that noise?
That's how you know she likes ya.
He also told us how to best smell the lady's hair.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. He's on Amtrak, you know, he just leans over and is like, oh, excuse me.
Yeah. He's like, I bet you boys love smelling hair on the Amtrak, don't you?
I said,
you're like, Uncle Joe, what's an Amtrak? you guys fucking destroyed that shit, so I don't know what that is.
True. Yeah. True. Yeah.
That's neoliberal.
Silence, liberal. Oh. Well, this is This Awful Podcast.
What?
Do you know which episode this is, Chris? I'm Mike, by the way. That's Chris.
Okay, and I'm Chris. And the episode...
What number episode is this? Do you know?
Why are you fucking doing this?
This is 25.
Really?
25.
Bro, that's like...
If we do this three more times, we'll be at 100. We're never getting there. Not at this rate.
If we do 25 more times.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
325. Okay, so.
Three more times. Not three total times. That would be 75.
That'd be 28.
Nobody told me there'd be math.
Yeah.
It's really not fair.
It's really early.
It's early and late. We're at the nexus. It's
binary of, nature of
we're,
truth.
We're at the nexus of early and late. Yeah. We're not starting over.
No, we're not.
I can't.
I can't. Man.
Speaking of being a little busy, Chris, how was your week?
Well, some people might know that AOC replied to me this week.
Ooh. Did she?
Oh, yeah.
Something complimentary?
Yeah, she was like, hey, do you want to get dinner later or whatever? And I was like,
really?
Alexandria, this is fucking public on Maine. What are you doing? And I was like, take it to DM.
I'm sure that's what she said, though.
Yeah, well.
It seems like she was actually clapping back at you.
Well, we're having a little fight right now, but I don't think it's anything we can't work out.
Okay.
She's a great
person. Yeah, you two are cute together.
We are. I mean, Mostly me, but yeah, I think we are.
I don't want to see you fighting.
Yeah, Mrs. Kearney was actually, I think,
she's
the
very
most
concerned.
Upset.
Oh.
Michael, have you seen my buttermilk?
Oh, God, Mrs. Kearney, please. Please. It's too late. It's bedtime.
I can't sleep without it. God. I need to suckle on the bottle to sleep efficiently.
Terrible. Terrible. I'm going to be hearing that all night in my head.
All right.
During the drive home. Like, oh, Michael. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, AOC clapped back at you. And you
yeah,
guys are in a fight,
did.
And you guys are not speaking right now, but you hope that you'll be back together soon.
Well, I retweeted her today, and she has not retweeted me back.
Oh, boy.
So
that
we'll
sounds like desperation to me.
Well, you get a little older, Mike, and thing you kind of see the world a little differently. You know, you want to settle down with one
online politician.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Yep. Sure. Sure. I understand. Totally understandable, Chris. And you know, I thoughts and prayers with you.
Yeah. Seriously, AOC, do better though. You're doing great, but what the fuck?
Do you want to explain the situation, or do you?
Well, Ilhan Omar is Congresswoman from Minnesota, mm-hmm. who is a former refugee,
mm-hmm.
or I guess still a refugee. Anyway, she's Muslim, and she made some comments about Israel.
Oh boy,
that are not anti-Semitic in any way whatsoever. Hmm. Anyone who is telling you they are is gaslighting the shit out of you.
Yeah,
I mean it's just so obscene.
It's clearly not anti-Semitic whatsoever.
And you're just being appropriated by these right-wing psychos like Donald Trump, who definitely gives a shit about anti-Semitism.
Oh, God. Seeing that picture of him at the Wailing Wall.
Yeah, I was just going to bring that
is
up.
Is just pathetic.
All the folks who are hopping on this and fucking just every disgusting moron you can possibly imagine is suddenly the most strident anti-
Stride, I love that word.
Me too, man.
Yeah, there's tasty. Been a lot of people with very spicy opinions.
I'm trying to, like, I saw John Poderitz was like tweeting like,
sucks.
Oh, if you think I'm arguing this in bad faith, say it to my face, kid. Seriously says this shit. And so obviously gets like 1,000 replies saying like verbatim that to him.
I love the say it to my face, fucker.
Yeah, he did. And then the best part of that story is that a few people were like, hey, what's your phone number? Like, so we can talk about this. And every person I saw who said something like that, he was like, how about no? And I call the police and let them know that you're harassing me.
John Potter.
He's so cool, man.
He sucks.
Fan of treats.
What?
Oh, he's always tweeting complaints to like Grubhub or
what?
Oh yeah,
is this like Sean Spicer on the Dippin' Dots shit?
Kind of, but he does it a lot, and he usually gets super indignant and will also
wow.
like give specifics in a way that's really funny. He'll be like, "I'm missing a pickle."
What?
Yeah, and he gets so pissed.
You know, for all the faults on Twitter, that's one of the most beautiful parts is that you get to see these little peculiarities of people like John Poderitz.
Yeah, man.
And Sean Spicer.
We'd never
Dippin'
know.
Dots will never be the future. Okay, who cares?
All right, man.
Yeah, that's cool. Eat
weird
ice cream.
Flex, but...
Yeah.
So it was a cascade of just like all these bad faith people, and then the Democrats felt like they had to respond, and it's been a fucking mess. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez definitely... does have to thread a kind of needle with it because she does have a lot of Jewish people in her district that she doesn't want to alienate. And I get that.
Yeah. It's not an enviable position that she's in.
Yeah, definitely. It did seem to be like a triangulation or something. And I think that turned people off. And also it is kind of like it's one of those issues where you like, you can tell if someone has their money where their mouth is. And I wouldn't say that she didn't fight for her. She definitely stuck up for Omar, but it was the way that she stuck up for her that mm-hmm. I thought was problematic and was kind of trying to have it both ways, like saying these Jewish folks who were offended by this have a perspective that's worthwhile, and you know, so does she. And I understand what she's trying to say with that and what she's trying to do with that. She's also saying, if I recall correctly, that she didn't feel entitled to comment on what anti-Semitism is or isn't as a non-Jewish person, as a non-member of that community. She should just come out and say it's not anti-Semitic. Like, what's actually racist is that you're going after this Muslim congresswoman, misconstruing what she's saying, like blatantly misconstruing it.
Blatantly.
I don't know. Yeah, to me, I get it, and it's not like I'm going to say she's canceled or something like that, but I do think that if you're going to get these left-wing politicians and you're going to campaign for them and organize for them, you have to apply pressure afterwards too. Otherwise, what's the point of having them in there at all? They're just going to get pressure from the center and right, and they'll go and they'll drift. So many people were in, people got fucking furious with me.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you didn't really say anything bad. All you really said was, don't do this.
Yeah, I didn't think that she was going to read it and reply either. I thought it would be like a sea of people being like, this is bad, you know? I called her dude. That was cool. Her reaction seemed very angry to me.
She didn't take it very well.
No.
She did not take it very well at all.
In fact, when Abby Wilkinson kind of replied to her, she ended up getting ratioed. AOC, that is. And
yikes.
I think the first time she's ever gotten ratioed.
Wow.
It was close. Razor thin ratioing, but it happened.
It's a ratio of likes to replies, right? Or,
yes,
you know, whatever.
Likes to replies, that's right. Yeah.
And you were part of it. You were part of the first ratioing.
History.
Yeah.
History.
It's historical.
Man on the moon.
Yeah, when they look back in history books on this, they'll be like, well, you know,
he
AOC
was fat,
AOC was AOC was doing well until, you know, until getting ratioed by...
I'm sure she'll do fine.
Oh, no. Chris, you're already walking away. Okay, that's fair. That's fair. That's fair.
She's a nice lady. Do you want to look at some clips? You want to look at some fun stuff?
Yeah, let's look at some fun stuff.
Want to look at some funny
We
things?
Get some fun stuff lined up, folks.
Yeah, we're going to have a little fun tonight.
We get some fun stuff lined up, folks. And before we get to it, I just want to get some business out of the way.
Uh-oh.
If you want to tweet at us, it is at ThisAlphaPod on Twitter. If you want to tweet at me, I'm at ThisIsNotMikeG. Now, you'd think that it wouldn't be me because it says ThisIsNotMikeG, but it actually is Mike G. That's me.
Mike says this to every waitress every time we go out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're never impressed.
No.
But, you know,
I
whatever.
Feel like they get it, but...
All right. I see the subtext here, Chris. They get it.
Got it.
You're supposed to do this during every show.
Uh-huh.
You're supposed...
What, did the fucking podcast Bible tell you that, you freaking dork?
No, just listening to other podcasts.
Oh!
That are actually, you know...
You listen to other
podcasts.
That are
actually good and successful.
What a fucking joke.
We can learn a thing or two. So.
Okay.
Fine. All right. Mm-hmm. So, are you done? Are you done just beating the shit out of me here or what?
Well, I guess we can.
I'm not even going to say your Twitter name, which is @ChrisCaesar.
Wow.
Or the phone number, which is 1-833-SOYBOYS, which you could leave us a voicemail on. I'm not going to say them.
You can.
Okay. What do you think about that?
Yeah.
Bitch.
Oh, man, that was pretty fucked up. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I'm really tired.
Yeah.
It's 3:35.
So much rage. And,
so we want to talk about Meghan McCain. Meghan McCain has some spicy good takes.
Yeah, I want to hear... This is floating around Twitter today, and Mike and I have been waiting to watch it with you guys because we're psyched. Do you want to set it up, Mike?
Meghan McCain, the...
Friend of the show.
Friend of the show.
Friend of my ass.
So Meghan McCain is on The View. She's... Yeah. On The View, our sister show. All good and useful people. Yeah. She was saying some really, really awesome things on
She's
there.
She's just so cool.
She's the best.
We love her.
She was commenting on the Ilhan Omar controversy. As you can guess, Meghan McCain had some really spicy takes on this. And we have not watched this video.
We're so excited to watch
it
with you.
So excited to watch it with you.
I can't wait to share this with my family, my pod family.
Your pod family? I like that.
Well, the great thing about the pod family is that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily kill anyone for your real family, but for your pod family, you would do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen it.
Just remember that family.
And if anybody snitches, they're dead.
Yeah, there will be a time where your services will be called upon.
So.
Slay and wait.
Okay, so Democrats, they're finally getting some power back. And what do? They start a civil war in their own party. Democratic lawmakers are split on whether to vote on a measure denouncing anti-Semitism after freshman Congresswoman Ilhan Omar was accused of using anti-Semitic tropes
tropes.
Her supporters say it's an unnecessary resolution that unfairly targets Omar herself. But her detractors say the rise of anti-Semitism cannot be tolerated in any form. Okay, so do we need a resolution that says that? Isn't it a given at this point? And why are they fighting with each other when there are so many other things to worry about right now?
That's a good question.
And are they throwing the thing over to Trump in 2020? It's very annoying and scary, and I don't like it.
It's sad that we even need a resolution for this. And frankly, a bad look that we can't even get something like that passed. I'm not going to get into the details. Megan, I know you know far more about this than I do.
Great. Thank you for
But I personally feel for Nancy Pelosi, because I think she's in a position similar. It reminds me to John Boehner. Remember when the Tea Party came in? And she...
Two people to feel very sympathetic for, Nancy Pelosi and John Boehner. Two people to
when
really...
When these wackadoos come in.
Two people to really feel for.
Yeah, it's kind of... Remember when everyone was coming in saying that, like, Obama was born on fucking Mercury or whatever? And then...
that's crazy.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy. And then these guys are coming in saying that AIPAC exists and global warming is real. What is Nancy gonna do?
She cares, I think, about the future of the Democratic Party. Of course she does. And she's savvy enough to know that some of these more extreme voices in her party rightfully won their election. But the things that they say are so out of step with the majority of where the country is. So how do you balance that but make sure that the party doesn't lose their soul and connect with the American people and our...
Wait a second. Did she say that these are extreme voices?
Yeah. And that's what I guess I was talking about with AOC. Like, you're just feeding into this kind of both sides shit that is going to just play over and over on TV for hours all day.
I just have to go back a few seconds here because I just...
Boehner, remember when the Tea Party came in? And she cares, I think, about the future of the Democratic Party. Of course she does. And she's savvy enough to know that some of these more extreme voices in her party rightfully won their election. But the things that they say are so out of step with the majority of where the country is. So how do you balance that but make sure that the party doesn't lose their soul and connect with the American people and are successful in 2020?
I mean, not to be fucking boring, but it's not opposed by the marginal tax rate increase that AOC said is supported nearly by a majority of Republicans.
Yes.
Supported by overwhelming majority of all voters and certainly Democrats and centrists and independents. Green New Deal is super popular. All this shit is really popular.
It's just
Medicare for All is also popular, similarly among Republicans too.
Yes.
So it's just completely bullshit. And this is the kind of fucking narrative that they're always trying to push. And I think you're playing into this and saying that we are extremists. We're not extremists.
No.
They're extreme. They're making shit up because they're insanely in love with Israel. It's not complicated.
It's not.
Funny, Nancy Pelosi, I don't envy her right now. But she's in a place where she's going to have to try and wrangle them. But also, don't tweet publicly. Why not get behind closed doors?
Why is Nancy tweeting?
Shut up.
I feel like the Democrats are all tweeting out their frustrations
publicly. That's this Ilhan Omar's thing, is that she tweets all the time like Trump. And that's a mistake.
Oh, God, come on.
Yeah. She does. So why not handle it behind closed doors?
Well, I think there's tweeting on both sides, right?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Smart.
This issue is a really... intense one for me, and just bear
there
with me, because I know, Sonny, you and I in particular don't always agree on this. And I want to say first and foremost, anti-Semitism shouldn't be a left or right issue. I don't think we should be politicizing it on either side, because as we know, if it's a tiki torch person in Charlottesville saying Jews will not replace us, or if it's we had Barry Weiss on to talk about sort of these more dog whistle moments that, in my view, Ilhan Omar is doing. And she, as of Saturday, hadn't been able to have gone 15 days without saying something anti-Semitic.
Wow.
What's interesting about this is that she is an up-and-coming rising star in the Democratic Party. She's on the cover of Rolling Stone magazine right now.
Nice.
She fits a lot of boxes that Democrats like. She is the first Somali elected member of Congress. She's the first woman, first of two Muslim women elected to Congress. And she's the first minority woman to serve from Minnesota. And the problem is
there's
pressure to support her within the Democratic Party because identity politics and intersectionality is something that is important to Democrats. Mm-hmm. And I think this specific moment is a watershed moment for Democrats.
She's citing intersectionality here. Intersectionality is actually going to prove us right on this one.
Yeah.
Just so you fucking know, you fucking heiress idiot. Oh, fuck you. There's like 6 minutes of this. I'm going to fucking break shit in this room. I can already tell. I really thought the edibles would curb the rage, man. But it's coming up. Like, feel it.
Chris is gripping the side of the chair very hard.
Like, I'm just absolutely... Ugh. This one's really hard for me, you guys. I saw Fiddler on the Roof when I was in high school, so...
My classmate made latkes.
Like, what the fuck? Yeah, why is it hard for you? Crocodile tear, motherfucker.
A lot of Jewish people in this country, I think, are being asked... With the rise of anti-Semitism in this country, is it more important to defend party politics or is it more important to defend anti-Semitism? And we can have conversations
Who's
all day
defending
long about
it?
How you feel about Israeli politics. Yes, excuse me, if you object to it. Mm-hmm. We can have a conversation all day long about how you feel about Palestinian politics, how you feel about Israeli politics, how you feel about Netanyahu, but in the same way that...
Wait a minute, what? Netanyahu?
Yeah.
I mean, fuck him, but, you know, just know the name.
Yeah.
You know?
I fear what's happening with Corbyn in the UK. I fear that it's seeping its way over here in the United States.
Yes.
And I just present this question, which may be an uncomfortable one.
No, wait a second. She just talked about dog whistles. I think she just blew a dog whistle into a fucking megaphone there. When she said, I fear what's happening in the UK, meaning lots of Muslims live in the UK.
Yeah.
You know, like...
A little freaky.
Yes.
And I just present this question, which may be an uncomfortable one. If what Ilhan Omar has been saying for the past few weeks were said by a white Republican male, how would you be reacting to it right now?
I would be fucking jumping up and down.
I object to it no matter who says it.
I meant asking the question.
The other thing that, why are they always concentrating on Israel is what I want to know. There's a little tiny place apart in the world. I mean, she's from Mogadishu. Does she object to things they do there? I'm assuming she does.
Wow, and fuck
Yemen
you,
and
Joy
and
Behar.
And Syria and all the hot spots all over the world. And yet this seems to be the focus of a lot of
people.
Hey,
Joy, like, are you fucking kidding me right now, man? Are you fucking seriously joking? I mean, how fucking racist was what she just said? She just said she's from Mogadishu. Okay. You want to play that fucking game, Joy? What if we were like, oh, you're from Israel? Do you like fucking bulldozing houses? People would flip the fuck out if you said that shit.
It's a very bad.
She gets away with it because they don't care about it. They don't care about Muslims.
It's a very bad game to play.
Yeah. It just I mean, all of this is so fucking racist and so Islamophobic.
It really is.
Absolutely trash.
When they keep referencing, like, oh, the things that she said, all the things she said, I'm looking back on her tweets. I really don't see anything that's openly anti-Semitic.
She never said.
Even codedly.
Yeah, she never said anything about Jews.
Nothing.
The only, I mean, like, if people want to say, oh, she should have been more careful. I mean, I don't know.
More careful, like...
What about the pledge loyalty thing? I mean, that to me is insane. That's it's just another willful misreading.
I mean, so we're going to hold a freshman congresswoman up to a different standard than, say, I don't know, president, you know, who tweets anything he fucking wants and gets away with it, or other GOP congress people who just tweet whatever the fuck they want and it's a scandal for a day and then it goes away.
It's not even a higher standard. It's an impossible and made-up standard that's just used to fucking stifle debate and discussion. And, I mean, the best way to prove we don't have some kind of weird prohibition on discussing Israel in an honest way or the occupation in an honest way in this country is to absolutely lose your fucking minds collectively when someone says something as benign as, like, oh, the Israel lobby is powerful. The two things that I know that she has supposedly said that's anti-Semitic is the stuff about AIPAC and all about the Benjamins.
But what was anti-Semitic about that?
I mean, nothing. So
no, people, I thought that people were like, and not to push it forward, but I thought that people were like bending and twisting to make it anti-Semitic, like, oh, Benjamin's a Jewish name, isn't that,
oh,
are you,
that
are you referencing Jews with that and money and
Chelsea, you know? Clinton famously,
oh, that's right,
recall, found some like old version of All About the Benjamins by Puff Daddy that had some line in it about, I don't know, some joke about Jews being wealthier, like,
yeah,
and it's not in the final song, but her implication was like, oh, you took this from this anti-Semitic song by Puff Daddy, and she tweets it out and she's fine, and that's not racist or insane. But
Israel, and why that particular country? It's very suspicious to me.
Can I say that I 100% agree with you on that? And I think that we should be talking about human rights violations globally, everywhere. In Iran,
no, you don't.
All lives matter.
Buildings for simply being gay. Women can't wear tank tops in the street without being stoned. There are human rights violations going around globally. And I agree with you. My question to Ilhan Omar is, why specifically this area of the world? Why specifically this group of people? And just putting a
button
on this because I know you've...
Don't bring anyone on the show that can answer the same fucking question you've just said 40 fucking times in a row. There's definitely, like, not a simple answer to that fucking question. To pretend that it's just a little country out there in the middle of nowhere that's not any bigger than New Jersey. Yeah, all right, you have a point. Then why does the U.S. care so much about it? Why is the U.S. paying so
good
much
point.
Money? That's
good
weird.
Point. Yeah, good point.
Hmm.
I mean, if Meghan McCain cares so much about people getting stoned across the world, you know, around the
yeah.
world. How about looking into one of our besties, you know, Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
And, you know, UAE. Yeah. You know, let's look at their record on women's rights over there, and it's not so good, huh?
Or the fucking Israeli snipers that are shooting journalists in the head, or school
yeah.
children at their fucking desks, mm. or bombing ambulances.
Well, you know, according to Alan Dershowitz, you shouldn't be thinking about the gun. You know, just the fact that people were shooting at each other is bad.
Oh, sure.
But
that's very powerful.
Know,
I don't think they had guns, but
it doesn't.
I don't remember.
It doesn't matter. If a child is caught in a crossfire, it doesn't matter that Israelis are shooting at him. It's that they had to shoot in the first place. Great galaxy brain.
Yeah, that's like multiverse brain. I think, man, that's just like that dude can step through time. No problem. Like, it's so disgusting. Why Israel? I think it's really suspicious. Well, I'm sorry that you have the fucking attention span of a moron and are on a daytime talk show, but you could fucking figure this out seriously in about 5 seconds. But very cool. I'm not going to have a heart attack.
Okay. All right. Continuing on.
Yeah. Filibuster. She is on a committee, a foreign relations committee, that will be in charge of what happens globally with our diplomacy. I'm uncomfortable with that in the same
She's
way
one
that
person
I was
on the committee.
With Steve King. Being on that
well, to your question, Joy, I think we should talk about the comment that she made that has spurned all of this discussion, right?
There are many comments,
but the comment that she made that we're talking about, that the resolution has come from, she said, so for me, because she has apologized for the other comments, for two of the
because,
comments.
Well, she also had a lot of pressure to apologize.
But she did apologize.
Up,
so the comment she said was, so for me, I want to talk about the political influence in this country that says it is okay for people to push for allegiance to a foreign country. Mm-hmm. And I want to ask, why is it okay for me to talk about the influence of the NRA, of fossil fuel industries, or big pharma, and not talk about a powerful lobby that is influencing policy? That's what she said. And people say that that is anti-Semitic. When we had Barry Weiss on as an expert in what is anti-Semitic and what isn't, I asked her, is it okay to talk about Israel's policies and not be called anti-Semitic? She said yes. She said where it crosses the line is when you say that Israel does not have the right to exist.
Which absolutely never even
Nobody's
said anything in that universe,
that.
But okay.
I don't even know why they're even diverting into this. Like, does Israel have the right to exist? It's like I said, it exists. And like you said, who seemingly doesn't exist in this situation? Who's actively being suppressed from existence in this situation? Seems like one side, and it's not Israel.
Yeah, right.
Right? Noted anti-Semites, Chris and Mike, by the way.
And the other thing that fucking annoys me is those other people spoke for 5 minutes straight, and this is the first time this woman who appears to be sympathetic starts talking, and they keep interrupting her. And
she was
interesting.
Yeah. She was forced to apologize. So what? She shouldn't have had to apologize in the first place. But
yeah, I
whatever.
Mean, what she, it's disgusting.
It's really bad.
Sick.
It is really bad.
That is when it crosses the line. Now, Omar has never
that.
Suggested
no.
that Israel does not have the right
but
to
can
exist.
I say what she has
so,
said?
So, to me, it seems to me that Republicans are trying to use this as a wedge issue.
I'm really not.
And I think that,
shut up.
I'm talking about you.
You know, this selective outrage is kind of crazy because.
What? Oh, I said shut up.
Oh, I thought that was Joy, and I was like, holy shit.
Sorry.
It's okay.
At 4 o'clock in the morning, my voice gets nasally.
I don't think that the Republicans have moral high ground here.
But it seems like Democrats are upset.
I think that Kevin McCarthy has used these anti-Semitic tropes. I think that Jim Jordan just recently, tweeted this
against Tom Steyer.
Remember that Ilhan Omar in the West Virginia Republican Party just had this huge poster superimposed with her face with 9/11 terrorists. And I haven't heard any outrage about that coming from the Republican Party. This selective outrage, and I will tell you, I take this very personally as a woman of color who has, you know, been the subject of so much bigotry. And what a lot of people don't know is that my grandfather is Jewish. He is a Sephardic Jew. And so I have, you know, my family members have received a lot of bigotry. So, you know, I've experienced firsthand in my family anti-Semitism and bigotry for being black. And so I think it's just a distraction.
Let her answer. Are you comfortable with me speaking now?
Are you
comfortable with me rebutting now?
Yes.
Shut the fuck up, you fucking
idiot. She also said Israel has hypnotized the world.
Are you okay with me rebutting now? How about you wait till she's fucking done talking, you stupid fucking
idiot? Yeah, I'm sorry your dad was too busy scooping his brains out in Congress or whatever to teach you how a fucking conversation works, you stupid asshole. But yeah, when someone stops talking, then you can talk.
What it's a fucking insane. Fucking entitled.
Did you notice how they were acting when you were talking? I mean, it's crazy how every time we watch a Meghan McCain clip, she fucking flips out that she can't just talk whenever she wants. We don't do it on this show, Mike, do we? Because you'd get the frickin' boot. That happened here.
No comment.
Suggested that Jews in Israel have bought U.S. politicians all about the Benjamins, implied that American Jews have divided loyalties and it's okay for people to push allegiance to a foreign country.
Didn't.
I again say, why this obsession with Jerusalem and Israel? Why this obsession with this specific area of the country? And as you said,
as you've said many times,
these are dog whistle comments for Jewish Americans.
Yes,
they are.
We
and
agree.
They hear what she's saying. And
You have to admit,
Megan, that it is disingenuous of the Republican Party to go after her. This is her point when they are backing a president who is in bed with dictators committing human rights violations
really
all over the world.
In bigotry.
Joy really fucking annoys me.
She's a fucking idiot.
She really just annoys the shit out of me.
I actually don't know who this woman is, but at least she seems like sentient.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. She has not had her brain scooped out.
Yeah. Brains firmly in her skull.
Where they belong.
Wrinkled nuts.
Let's go there. So just really quickly, since we're talking about I take this very personally. I would go so far as to say I probably verge on being a Zionist as well.
But
I will say that I don't have family that is Jewish, but Joe Lieberman and Hadassah Lieberman are my family.
Yeah.
And I take the hate crimes rising in this country incredibly seriously, and I think what's happening in Europe is really scary. And I'm sorry if I'm getting emotional,
but you're right.
The idea that this is politicized, I'm really not. I was very nervous to talk about this on the show because I thought it would become politicized, and it really shouldn't be. On both sides, it should be called out.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And just because I don't technically have Jewish family that are blood related to me, it doesn't mean I don't take this as seriously, and it is very dangerous. Very dangerous. And I think we all collectively as Americans on both sides, and what Ilhan Omar is saying is very scary to me, and it's very scary to a lot of people. And I don't think you have to be Jewish to recognize
that. I just hope
instead of a resolution from the Democrats, I'm tired of the selective outrage, and I hope that we have a joint resolution perhaps from Republicans and from the Democrats. I would be in favor of a joint resolution.
The turning on the waterworks was fucking disgraceful.
That was fucking so goddamn lame.
I'm not Jewish, and none of my family is Jewish, but Joe Lieberman and whatever his wife's name is, I think I'm a Zionist too.
Yeah, that was great. Like I'm almost a Zionist, practically.
Megan, do you know what a Zionist is?
I don't think she does. I don't think she does. Yeah.
Oh my fucking God, that was disgraceful.
And then when did you ever see her cry? You know what else has gone up like 100% is hate crimes against Muslims in this country in 2 years. Where was your little fucking crying game about that? Where was that little happening?
Yeah.
It does seem a bit selective to me, just like the rest of the Republican parties and their fucking.
Okay, fine. So she's upset at anti-Semitism. Fine. Where Are the Tears for Ilhan Omar and getting posters with her picture plastered on it with fucking 9/11 in the background and, you know, saying she's responsible for 9/11. Where's the crying for that?
I hate to fucking say it, but where, like, yeah, first of all, that's dangerous. Like, yeah, you could get her fucking killed.
Yes.
And where are these left-wing anti-Semites that are, like, bursting into synagogues or terrorizing Jewish people? They don't fucking exist.
Would love to know.
Yeah.
Would love to know.
If you really want to conflate a couple cranks on the left who are in Facebook groups where bad things or bad tropes are shared, or, like, I don't know, some dipshit. Both sides have dip, but you want to talk about dangerous anti-Semitism, you cannot conflate these two things. You have to recognize right-wing anti-Semitism for the actual danger it is. And it's radicalizing people all the time, that, like, Coast Guard dude or whatever who was planning that, like...
Yeah.
We just all forgot about that, I guess.
He had a fucking arsenal.
Yeah.
You know?
Would you think he was like a third world Maoist? What was his political ideology? I don't remember. He's a Demsosh, right?
Third world Maoist.
I mean, like, it's insane. You know, and the best thing about the Meghan McCain thing, someone pointed out on Twitter, when Obama, you know, not boosting Obama here, but when he cried after the Sandy Hook stuff, that was a big deal on Fox News. She was on a panel and she, like, laughed at him crying.
Oh, did she?
She said she didn't believe it was sincere.
Hmm. Interesting.
And also pointed out, oh, well, there was a shooting in Paris. You know, I believe it was the Charlie Hebdo shootings. She was like, where were the tears then? And it's like, gosh, pretty cool and normal, dude.
She sucks. She really, really sucks.
Hey, I'm the normal human who's like, why are you crying that a bunch of kindergartners got shot to death? That's fucking weird.
So, I just brought up a HuffPo article about conservatives mock Obama for crying about Newtown school shooting, where kindergartners, right? Kindergartners who are...
Something like maybe preschool? Younger, I don't know.
I think it was kindergartners.
If I recall.
20 children died. Ben Shapiro, breaking Obama, talks about gun control, and it's a friggin'...
That Dawson's Creek.
Dawson's Creek. Yeah, it's great. Crying. It's really
super funny.
Yeah, Obama's tears cure cancer and gun violence. looking for Meghan McCain commenting on this.
It's not that good, but I kind of summarized. It's not that funny. I thought about it, but
damn it.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to mention.
Okay, what's the other thing you wanted to mention?
So the latest update on this Meghan McCain thing is they had that vote today on the resolution about hate and everything, and all the Dems voted for it. A couple dozen, I think, Republicans voted no, which is funny. But so after the vote, Omar, Rashida Tlaib, and Andrew Carson put out a statement. Today is historic on many fronts. It's the first time we voted on a resolution condemning anti-Muslim bigotry in our nation's history. Anti-Muslim crimes have increased 99% from 2014 to 2016 and are still on the rise. We're tremendously proud to be a part of a body that has put forth a condemnation of all forms of bigotry, including anti-Semitism, racism, and white supremacy. At a time when extremism is on the rise, we must explicitly denounce religious intolerance of all kinds and acknowledge the pain felt by all communities. Our nation is having a difficult conversation, and we believe this is great progress. So, pretty reasonable. Nice barbs in there about how everyone's racist against Muslims. And then, apparently, a bunch of people noticed that she retweeted...
Oh, shit!
Yeah.
Yes! Yes!
Mehdi Hassan tweeted, Meghan's late father literally sang Bomb 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 Iran and insisted on referring to his Vietnamese captors as gooks. He also, lest we forget, gave the world Sarah Palin. So, a little less faux outrage over a former refugee-turned-freshman representative, please. So, Omar retweeted that.
Yes.
Which fucking kicks ass.
That's awesome.
And Meghan McCain has spent the whole night retweeting people angry on her behalf.
Meghan McCain, not affected at all.
Yeah, not mad.
Sorry your dad was a war criminal.
Yeah, like, where's the fucking lie? Is that going to be racist against old white assholes now? Pointing that out? What do you mean? He did do that.
Yeah, he did.
It's just so absurd, man. And fuck John McCain. We all know this.
Yeah. Piss and shit on his grave.
Yeah. His legacy is one of the biggest failed daughters I've ever seen in my fucking life. Just crying on TV every... Is it my turn to go yet? Is it my turn to go? Is it my turn? Can I talk now? I know I just spoke for fucking 4 minutes straight, but is it my turn to talk now?
Like, what kind of world did you come from? That's so fucking weird to me.
A real treat growing up in that house.
Hey, Megan, catch the ball. Run and catch the ball, Megan.
Gotta run away from this one.
you can do it.
Meghan McCain, welcome on the show anytime.
Yeah, please come cry on our show.
Call.
I guarantee you will be a lot harder. Yeah. Hey, everybody. It's your main man, Chris. Wanted to come at you to introduce a segment we were able to arrange after we recorded the full episode, an interview with noted cartoonist Ellie Valley. You may know Ellie from Twitter, where most recently he had the distinct privilege of filling several of Meghan McCain's diapers online after he drew an unflattering caricature of her mocking her appearance on The View. You can find his book Diaspora Boy, Comics on Crisis in America and Israel, available at Amazon and all other godless, soul-sucking retailers everywhere. For now, here's Ellie. Ellie, we wanted you on the show because Mike and I, we really don't like Meghan McCain.
Yeah, we're not big fans.
You know, she kind of sucks an awful lot.
Yes.
And I mean, everyone's seen your cartoon, and I'm just curious, like, what made you sit down, start drawing the cartoon? Like, what kind of made you go and do that?
I mean, initially it was her tears on The View. I don't remember, like, the initial, you know, the final impetus to this, because I was on the subway. I just saw, like, on Twitter, everyone was talking about Meghan McCain. So I just, like, and I don't remember if it was particularly because of a review thing or because something else happened afterwards. But I just like, tweeted, don't make me draw Meghan McCain. And and then, like, first of all, the response was very much like, you have to do this. And, you know, it's not about peer pressure, but it's about, you know, sort of artistic inspiration. But then it was like, you know, this kind of comic writes itself when she's appropriating Jewish trauma to vilify a Muslim congressperson on the base of this invented smear of her wanting to kill the Jews. And so it was like, it wrote itself, kind of.
I'm sure you were pretty surprised when Meghan, I saw she blocked you initially and then unblocked you blew you up. Is that how it went down?
Power move right there.
Yeah. You know, on that, I just want to say that the comic was hyperbole in that it was turning her appropriation of Jewish identity and trauma into making her pretending to be Jewish. You know, that was the joke of the comic was just like, that's the satire of it. But what's so weird is that she made the satire real by calling it anti-Semitic, because what it's saying is that, you know, implicitly is that she's Jewish and I'm, you know, some Gentile attacking a Jew, you know? And then with her subsequent tweet saying that she's been victimized, she's never felt, you know, such.
I've never seen anything so anti-Semitic in her life, I think she said, right?
I know. In her life. Yeah.
I want
in
to say, first life. Of all, that was the first tweet, and it clearly shows she was in a coma during Charlottesville and Pittsburgh.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think I said something to you, Chris, the other day, where I was like, was she on TV crying when Charlottesville happened, or when the synagogue got shot up, or you know, things like that? And I didn't see any tears then.
Yeah, exactly.
But this, you know, this whole incident definitely brought him out for sure.
Yeah, one congresswoman says AIPAC exists.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, totally. Yeah.
Suddenly, anti-Semitism is a crisis.
Suddenly.
Heard some people saying that you were employing Jewish tropes to mock her, and honestly, or like anti-Semitic tropes, I guess. And I really looked at this and strained, and I'm like, I just don't see anything that could even be remotely considered.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, these people are humorless and they have an agenda. And when I say these people, I don't mean the Jews. But you know, they're coming at it with such bad faith. What I was doing, I hate explaining such an. It seems to me pretty obvious, but clearly it needs it. I was mocking a Christian's appropriation of Jewish kitsch.
Sure.
You know, and I want to say, like, originally one of the initial ideas was to have her actually in an Auschwitz prison uniform, you know? And I thought it would be better to go with the kitsch, you know, go with Yentl.
Sure.
You know, go with Matisyahu. Matisyahu,
yeah.
I included the one Holocaust symbol was the German Star of David with Yuda on it.
Yeah.
And I think that might have been what really set them off. But I mean, she was appropriating Jewish trauma, and therefore it was essential that I include something like that. And so for people to misinterpret satire of appropriation of Jewish kitsch, memory, and trauma into anti-Semitism itself is just, to me, it's a definition of bad faith. And it's kind of emblematic of the kind of bad faith they brought to this since the start.
We were saying, like, I can't imagine a better foil for this kind of thing than Meghan McCain.
No,
and
she
is
perfect.
Just stepping up to the plate as the dumbest idiot possible.
She's perfect. I mean, was Chris, was it you that tweeted at her saying something about her?
Oh, her, the Ukraine stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just said when she was saying it was the most anti-Semitic thing she'd ever seen, I was like, more than your dad's friends in Ukraine?
I
was hoping for a retweet, but
no.
didn't get it.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest with you. I don't want to, like, bully people, and I did feel a pang of sort of definitely no regret. I'm very happy with the comic, but I didn't want to, like, be responsible for her persecution. But obviously, it was not long lasting because, well, first of all, this woman is not persecuted. She's an heiress to, you know, all that. But also, I went to her timeline. It's like, it's not like she was like, I'm concerned about Ilhan. And, oh, my God, this man is attacking me. No, the timeline is smear after smear on Ilhan. She is perpetrating a smear. She is not a victim here. So any kind of uneasiness I had about some kind of pylon was like, oh, excuse me. There are clear people in power here and clear disadvantage, and I'm not on the side of the assholes.
Yeah, and also, I mean, she absolutely blew it up herself. So, you know,
she
retweeted it. Just I don't think you should feel bad, honestly.
No. Yeah, no, I mean, it was just a little bit, just because, you know, you don't like any kind of implication that you made someone cry. But, you know, again, it's like, you know, when you look at her timeline, it's like, and that's why when she tweeted again, I said that, you know, Ilhan Omar is receiving death threats because of shit that you're doing.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're right, Chris, that she blew this up pretty much herself, right? I mean, she retweeted this.
Yeah.
She retweeted it.
Called it the most anti-Semitic thing she's ever seen.
Right, right. And would it sort of compound things if I said it's a little bit of the Streisand syndrome or Streisand effect?
Absolutely.
Would that compound things? Would that make it worse? Or no, I don't think so. Right?
Good, yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Uh-huh. Somewhere I was going for that. Yeah, okay.
Well, it's the Yentl.
Yeah. The Yentl effect, yes.
Yes.
All right, there's my contribution, folks. I'm out.
No, it's good. That was good shit. It's going to be Wikipedia tomorrow.
So I was Googling it earlier, and I saw that Fox News, the Fox News website had an article about it. Have you been getting any, like, calls from media and stuff like that? Is it getting, like, to the...
Did Fox News want you on? Because I'm sure that they
yeah. Go on The View, Ellie.
Yeah, well, I was joking about The View because I totally do not think that's a possibility. So that's why the joke. The reason I definitely don't think it's a possibility is because Barry Weiss is like BFFs, like a public BFFs with Meghan McCain, and so the one through line in Barry Weiss' professional life is silencing progressive voices.
Mm.
So even regardless, there was no way I would ever get towards The View. Not that that's, you know, a goal of mine. The joke is, you know,
damn,
I'm gonna be able to talk to Meghan McCain about this stuff.
Oh,
yeah,
that would be incredible. What would you even say to her? Like, would you? what would the opening line be there?
Honestly, it wouldn't be a comfortable experience for me because, you know, everyone there and the entire audience would be, you know, I assume they have a warm up act saying that I'm, you know, Adolf Hitler. So, you know, it would be extremely uncomfortable for me. But yeah, so I'd have to, like, think about how to approach that.
Yeah.
Have you gotten any notably weird replies or feedback from this that made you go,
I mean, I'm still going through stuff because I got a little inundated with ads and notifications and DMs. I mean,
shun
most
back
of DMs. Well, for me, it was kind of, I'm not really used to this kind of deluge, essentially. And so I haven't, you know, it's like, I don't know how these power tweeters do it. There's no way I can see all of these individual tweets. So I'm, you know, doing my best to, like, see what I can. But like just now, right before I got on this phone, I just saw an at that was, I was on it because they were adding someone who told me that because it's just horrible thing you said. I wouldn't have seen it. It's this guy who follows me hadn't tweeted at me. So he basically said to me that I'm going to read it to you because it's so just disgusting. discussing. He says, "You are so naive, so, quote, progressive, unquote. For your excellent work, if and when we will be again gathered before being sent to the gases, you will probably get first-class VIP treatment and go first."
Jesus.
Very cool.
Yeah, yeah, so that kind of shit. I mean,
gotcha.
I mean, those are in John Podhoretz's drafts. You know, that's 3 dozen. But you know, so I see this shit, and so I had to reply. But I wouldn't have seen it otherwise if someone who followed me hadn't, you know, essentially thrown it into my... And it was like a two-day-old tweet as well, so I'm suddenly going after him.
Jesus.
Yeah, so
I can only imagine the depths of just the depraved shit that you get. I can only imagine.
Yeah, I mean, part of it is I'm a little bit used to it, not necessarily through Twitter, but I've been drawing comics about Jewish internecine or Jewish intracommunal battles, etc., for some years now, and I've gotten, you know, attacks that I'm a Nazi, a self-hating Jew, etc., for years, and it's not like I'm suddenly stunned by these attacks, you know? I do have a little bit more comfort now because, in general terms, the same people who were insisting that I was a traitor to the Jewish people are now allied with Nazis. And so it's like their argument loses some of its steam at this point, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of people like Meghan McCain a little bit. Not she's not like outwardly allied with Nazis, but she's, you know, she's on the crypto fash scale. I'm sure she's
a little close.
She's moving the needle a little bit.
That's why I love her.
But I mean, I wasn't on her radar before this. I mean, and I won't be on her radar for long, I'm sure. But I mean, there are people, you know, Brett Stevens types or Seth Mandel, Bethany Mandel, who have been on my ass for years, and Brett might call himself a never-Trumper, and even Seth and Bethany might, but I mean, again, as I've said on Twitter, and I'll keep saying, because we must not forget this, they rejoiced at the White House 6 weeks after the most horrific pogrom in American Jewish history, and they are calling me a Nazi. That's fucking preposterous.
Yeah, I mean, I find it preposterous for all kinds of reasons.
Sorry, am I getting too angry for this podcast?
No, that's perfect. It's perfect. I mean, yeah, Chris gets angry plenty.
Oh, yeah.
So where do you go from now?
Yeah, I don't know. In my opinion, it's in the rear view unless they continue it. And I don't want to be cocky, but it's like, it's not that challenging when people who have implicitly or explicitly sided with this horror show, who are perpetuating this smear campaign against one of the people who is on the side opposite the horror show, they're automatically coming from such a bad place. To me, it's in the rear view unless they, you know, continue coming after me. I do think it's one of those incidents that sort of shows how satire is eclipsed by reality and you can't really hyperbolize. And so I had, like, for instance, I was working on a comic about how evangelical Zionists were trying to redefine anti-Semitism to mean anti-Christian Zionists, you know? I was, like, tinkering back and forth, and it wasn't, like, in the place that I wanted it to be yet. But when this happens, it's like it almost makes that slightly less satirical. So, you know, I'm sort of absorbing, like, because I think that what happened, not because of me, and not because of Meghan McCain herself, although more because of her, but more because the entire conversation is showing itself. You know, like, these people are revealing what side they're on. When people are, like, siding with this heiress against so many American Jews on the left who are not Zionists, it's just so putrid. And so I think it sort of pushed the conversation a different plane that I actually wasn't expecting. And so the actual incident in the rearview mirror, but in terms of philosophically and ideologically, I feel like sort of like absorbing it still, and maybe it'll come out in future works. But I'm not going to be drawing her like every day.
Yeah, I can't imagine you would.
How do you feel about how the Democrats handled all that stuff last week?
I mean, it's so hard to say because they kept changing every day. You know, initially I was really pissed that Pelosi was leaving her out to dry, you know, throwing her under the bus.
Yeah, that was bad.
And then when they expanded the definition, you know, they saved some face with that. And also they made Republicans look like shit when they had like 23 of them voting against it.
Yeah.
But the whole thing was a sideshow. And also, like, the fact that there were Democrats who were trashing her.
It's
infuriating.
It was shameful.
Yeah.
Yeah. There were so many different aspects of it that were problematic and also disturbing if we want to have any chance of kicking Trump out of the White House.
I've been following this stuff for maybe about 10 or 15 years, and I feel like if this went down, you know, in 2005 or something, it would have played a lot differently. Am I just being Pollyannish or something, or are we seeing, like, you know, the Democratic Party actually kind of grappling with this? And
wait, what do you mean differently?
I guess in 2005, I would have seen Omar actually get censured, possibly removed from the committee and that kind of stuff. But it seemed like there was so much popular pressure, the Democrats realized they couldn't do it.
Yes. And, by the way, last week was such a whiplash effect of like going back and forth, back and forth. I forgot that aspect of it, which is that it was popular support for Ilhan Omar that caused backtracking on the part of leadership, which is really encouraging. And I think you're right. I mean, it's just so hard to imagine 10 years ago that a Muslim former refugee would be in Congress. And things have changed in that regard so much. It's hard to imagine. But yes, I think that it's a good sign that the base, at least, is not taking this shit as much as, or maybe the base is different than it used to be. I don't know.
Well, I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Yeah.
So, Ellie, how long did it take you to make the Meghan McCain cartoon?
Basically all night. I gave myself that as a deadline, you know?
That's awesome.
I started it, I don't remember when I got home and then, like, you know, got to work, but probably, like, maybe, I don't know, 10:30 or 11 p.m. And, you know, often when I'm doing this, I'll, like, go to sleep at 4, wake up at 9, and then keep working. But usually when I do that, then I don't finish until, like, 4 in the afternoon. And I was like, this is really so raw right now.
Yeah.
And I didn't expect to get on The View, but I did think that she might talk about it again on The View. So I'm like, well, I got to do it before 11 a.m. then. And so I didn't let myself sleep at all. I'm just like, just do it. So,
yes.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. But,
well, Ellie, congratulations on a savage own.
Yes.
I must say.
Thank you.
Yeah. What's
incredible.
So are you working on anything right now?
I've been working on somewhat longer project type thing, like a bit. And in fact, that was supposed to be the thing that I've been working on now, but then I took time off because of all this Ilhan Omar stuff, not just the McCain comic, but a couple others as well. But right now I'm just sort of like exhaling after all this shit, but then I'll get back to that stuff. But then there's going to be another earthquake probably next week, you know, politically. And so maybe I'll be roused to do another comic, but it's not like I'm currently working on something specific.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Okay, cool. Well, hey, listen, I really, really appreciate you taking the time out. I know it's going to be a real shitstorm. Do you have anything else, Chris? Or
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you were signaling me, but appreciate you taking time out of your day to talk to us.
Thanks. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
On.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. See you later.
Take care.
Drag her ass.
Bye-bye.
Drag her ass. Yep. Bye bye.
Hey, what's up? This is Bernie Sanders, and I just want to say thank you for all your support. Bernie 2020, couldn't do it without you guys. We're going to really get to that Trump fellow in the next year. So just remember to support your farmers, support your farmers. Yeah, that's pretty non-controversial. Cause who among us doesn't love to eat a good sandwich every now and again? And that could never be possible without the hardworking farmers of America. So stay true. Red, white, and blue. Bernie Sanders out.
On last episode, we talked about Alex Jones and Joe Rogan doing a little bit of beefing.
Yeah, a little bit of beefing, yeah.
And I don't mean
low-key hostility.
Yeah, low-key.
I'll never talk to you again. I'll never come on your show again. I'm going to destroy you.
Let's take bets on that.
Wow.
I understand it now. I'm going to get you. I'm coming for you. Oh. Understand that?
Wow.
Who do you think I am? What do you think I do?
Sounds awful.
You're very foolish. Now you understand the shape of things. That's you understand. I'll get my hands politically around your neck.
My hands
tough guy crap's going to end real quick. Metaphysically, is a Christmas hog. And I'm going to politically haul him up by his back legs and slit his throat. His blood will fill buckets politically, not violently. Get ready, Joe.
So predictably,
guess what happened?
He went on Joe Rogan's show. And there was a video with some highlights. I haven't seen any of them. I do want to point out that Alex Jones has poured himself into a NASA t-shirt. A very colorful NASA logo.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Looks a little retro.
Looks a little small for him, but okay.
Gave them all the sophisticated AI, and now China announces they've got all these AI drones that are autonomous and all these AI weapon systems to direct their aircraft. So what I'm telling you is China has no rules. 20 years ago, they had cows that produced human milk. 20 years ago, they had spiders that produced body armor, spider guts. Okay, they have human-animal hybrids 30 years ago. They've got giant human tissue farms. You know, you hear, oh, your Achilles is torn. We've got a grown in a lab, a tendon. It's not a frickin' tendon grown in a lab. It's a frickin' deal, a humanoid. These aren't humans. The way they get around it is they
wait
make
a minute,
them.
Wait a minute, wait a minute.
They make
we're,
them a few.
We're saying so many things. This is, listen, I love you to death. But you say so many different things.
I bet you $10 million humanoids are real.
I believe they are. But you say so many different things without stopping. It's hard
because
for
I'm reporting to
absorb.
The government agency, so they'll listen and investigate. I'm decompartmentalizing.
Okay,
this will be studied for years.
So,
no, what I'm
I
telling
believe you,
is,
I believe.
What it's so fucking crazy that Joe Rogan laughs at you. It's crazy.
Yeah, dude. Joe Rogan seems absolutely perplexed, which is amazing because. He really gets some winners on this show.
Joe, Joe.
Yes.
Joe, it was in MIT Quarterly 25 years ago that they had human-animal embryos, but they killed them at the embryonic level. You can pull it up.
No,
I believe They've got humanoids.
I believe this. I mean, look, they've already used CRISPR to enhance children.
With
they've
higher intelligence.
Yes.
In China.
No, they haven't.
The globalists want to play God. They have what they call a breakaway civilization. So instead of talking about the breakaway civilization, I was talking about Sandy Hook, which I get and I appreciate you letting me cover. And I'm sorry it ever happened. I believed it happened. I'm sorry for people's pain. And then I ask the families and I ask the lawyers and I ask them all, stop in my name saying I'm the wolf at the door, saying go after these families and stop running around through the news everywhere saying Alex Jones says Sandy Hook didn't happen. Because the media,
well, how about
the media is the most unpopular thing in the world with 7% approval rating in Gallup. So when they say that I say it's fake, that sends people to Connecticut because people think the media lies.
Right.
So if they're saying Alex Jones said it didn't happen, it must have not happened. And now they're trying to create a violent event. Not the families, but I think some of the people involved know that if they make a big enough
not the families
about it, they're going to have a big event up there in Connecticut. You understand? And they're going to blame it on me. So I'm saying no. I believe it happened. Stop saying I said it didn't happen.
You
and
did say
stop
that.
Saying that I'm saying no kids died. Because I want to talk about human-animal hybrids and humanoids. Because, Joe, why has it got to be a humanoid?
Why?
Because if you make it a few percentage points another animal or another creature, it's a gray area. There's no human rights. You have an animal rights movement. You have a human rights movement. There's no alien movement.
Yes.
Right. Aliens are real. They're creating human-animal hybrids that are a new creature, never here on Earth. It's alien.
What's the matter?
I Googled one of these things.
He is out of his fucking mind. It's great.
Joe looks insanely high.
Yes, but also
I want to see this guy Googling. It seems like he's going to fact check Alex.
MIT Technology Review estimates that about 20 pregnancies of pig-human or sheep-human chimeras have been established during the last 12 months in the U.S.
Total whitewash.
Listen, 2016.
I definitely believe
that. Did you ever see Trinity and Beyond
with
William Shatner? I know you know.
But let's start slow because you go over so many different things.
Hydrogen bombs trying to ignite the atmosphere in the 1960s.
Oh, no.
The U.S. Air Force tried to destroy the atmosphere in 1968.
Yes. Operation Starfish Prime. They actually detonated a nuclear bomb.
It's psychotic.
I don't have enough time to go into it as much as you do.
You asked why I flipped out and got mad at you? That's it right there. Every time I bring up a fucking subject, you know all about it.
I don't know all about
you
this.
You fucking know all about this shit.
I don't know all about
bullshit.
This.
Bullshit. You're a smart guy. Joe just is a pot. Bullshit.
Wow.
You know exactly what you're doing. I don't think you're a bad guy. You're trying to survive for you and your family and do good.
Okay, but
your family, none of us are going to make it. There's a post-human era coming. The breakaway civilization. The deal's been made. It's not
made.
The third dimension. They've made freaking deals with interdimensional aliens.
Okay.
And notice the media never attacks me for that, because that's the truth.
Maybe this is true.
The media never attacks me.
We'll get into it.
Okay, I do not. Oh my God, Eddie Bravo's here. Jesus Christ.
Eddie Bravo.
No, we're having a great time.
Up earlier.
We're having a great time talking about interdimensional beings.
What kind of fucking shirt is this?
Natsa, bro.
Fuck, I'll choke you out with this shirt.
Natsa.
Eddie, you know.
I'm going to make you regret wearing this fucking shirt.
Hey, listen, in high school, wow. We used to choke each other out. That's like a DM teacher. Go ahead and choke me out. On air.
No, please don't.
That would be hilarious.
Please don't.
I'm not scared. Let's go.
No. Eddie, don't. Please don't choke him unconscious.
Oh my God. He's going to do it.
Let's go.
He can't do it.
You know, you think I'm afraid of this? Let's do
no,
it.
No, I definitely don't think you're afraid of this, which is why I don't want him to do it.
You know what? Let's not be pussies. Choke me out.
Wow.
You know what?
No, we
should do it
very
uncomfortable.
I know you did. You told me. You grab each other and you fall down and hit your heads.
It only takes like 20 seconds.
What were you going to say about strip club?
No.
You might need to go to them SMM, those S&M clubs.
I'm not into pain.
Dungeon.
When you get choked out, you like go somewhere. You have a little dream, and then you come right back.
It's like DMT.
Yeah, it is.
You hate that shit.
James on point.
All right, let's get serious.
More of that?
I remember eating one babies? Time I got choked out. I remember
eating
once.
Babies.
I remember one. It was cool.
I don't think I've ever been choked completely out.
The first time I got choked out was like this 17-year-old super hot chick, and I was like 13.
Tied up.
What she lived fuck? Down the street. No, and she goes... I got promiscuous when I was pretty young, like 12. And she goes, I'll have sex with you.
Fuck up.
This is a true story. I'll have sex with you if you let me put makeup on you. So I'm not into gay stuff or anything. So the girl puts the makeup on me and I have sex with her. And she's super hot. And then like a week later, she goes, now I'm going to choke you out. And that relationship went really well until her like 30-year-old boyfriend clocked me at her place once because her mom was always working.
Oh my
and
God.
Tried to kill me in the parking lot.
What?
Oh my God.
I'll fucking put makeup on you.
Jesus Christ.
This is
this was fun at first, and now
I'm
like, what the fuck?
There was a part where these two were going to seriously punch each other.
Listen to me!
Do you really think there's people out there campaigning for late-term abortions? You think that shit's real? You
the
think
Senate
that shit's real?
Voted Monday to keep it legal.
Who would do that? Who would campaign for that's
they
the most
fucking did it,
that
Bravo,
is the craziest
and
shit
you
ever.
Can't fucking admit they're fucking killing already more kids. So you're telling me it isn't real when they had a fucking vote in the goddamn fucking Senate?
That's
what
a conspiracy
fuck?
Theory.
I am ready to beat your ass.
That's a conspiracy theory.
You think you're fucking tough? You're about to get it. Bullshit! They're killing already born babies. Stop fucking lying. God fucking damn it! I'm getting pissed now.
Don't get pissed.
I was convinced he was going to stroke out. Right
yeah.
There. Like Alex is talking about post-birth abortion.
Yeah.
Also known as
they're killing our kids.
Infanticide. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
I just want to say, as a general point, Alex looks extremely bloated and very.
Yeah.
He just looks very unhealthy.
He looks really. He's got to be doing some fucking crazy drugs.
Oh yeah.
Well, that was neat.
Yeah, that was
that was something.
Boy, that was a time, huh?
Wow. Someone get that man a bowl of chili. Kind of tired, man.
Oh, well. Yeah. Oh, you tired? Oh, you sleepy?
Hey, man, I'm going to fucking kick your ass. Shut your fucking mouth.
Come here, I want to choke you.
Put your fucking daughter on the floor.
Oh.
Here it comes. Yep.
Alex Jones, you're welcome on the pod.
Come on the show.
Come
Alex.
On the pod.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And bring your very cool NASA shirt.
So for anybody keeping track at home, it's 10 of 5 now. I have to be at work in about an hour and 10 minutes. So.
Oh fuck! Are you serious?
Yeah, dude.
You're the one saying like more clips and shit. You fucking wild man! I don't have to be at work for another like. 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah.
You're a wild man.
Well, you were telling me, you're like, oh, I'm not gonna sleep. I'm like, okay, great. Let's jump. Fucking.
I was fucking lying to impress you, dude.
Oh.
Yeah. I wanted you to think I was like a god. Of course I'm going to bed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you better wake up for work.
I mean, that's... We'll see, but...
Okay.
Hey, it's Bernie Sanders again.
I just want to say that, you know, I was listening to your podcast, and, you know, fuck, where was I going with this? Definitely me, the actual Bernie Sanders, Bernard Sanders, New York. So I was listening to your podcast, actually, I think that was about it.
When Uncle Joe teaches us how to unhook a bra with one hand. Yeah, that should be okay.
Okay.
One hand? How did he do it? What? Are you freaking kidding me? In this economy?